This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 179 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And let me just get this out of the way here. To hell with Georgia. To hell with Georgia, the cesspool of the South. I'm not singing this episode. I know I sang the song last year, but just emphatically, to hell with Georgia. Hate those guys. Absolutely hate. As the week progressed, my hatred and the vitriol just bubbled and bubbled and bubbled. And it's just crazy because this really is that last week of Georgia hate week where it's the traditional Eastern rival and everything like that. So join in with me, the cesspool of the South. Got a fun episode for y'all, really focused on the Georgia preview here. Got a lot to go over, but before I do, we have a quick week in review for y'all from around USC Athletics, and the only result from the week is an exciting one, with the women's golf team winning the Annika Intercollegiate Tournament. Huge! It was the 24th tournament win under Coach Kaylin Anderson. Very excited for them. That is a very exciting, very cool early season win for them. They lit up Capstone, Garnet, and everything. Very exciting to see. Love when Gamecocks win. Now, there really wasn't anything else going on. The men's soccer team had their game canceled, postponed because of weather. But there is a lot of action on Friday that I will recap next episode. Also, a bit of news related to the football team that came out is that the Mississippi State game was set for a night game. Another night game in Willie B, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. That is huge. I'll get into this next week, but that game has quickly become, to me at least, a damn near must win. And to have it at home at night is just exactly what this team needed here. And under Shane Beamer at home, the boys have played well. At night, they've played very well also, so very excited to see. But that's next weekend. Let's focus on this weekend as the Carolina Gamecocks are opening SEC play this season, taking on the number one ranked Georgia frickin' Bulldogs, and are currently sitting at about a 27, maybe 28 point underdog, depending on where you look. And I'm just going to say this as well. Like, I'm not here to kiss anybody's rings, right? Like, I'm just not. I understand that it's a challenge, and I understand and accept that Georgia has risen to an elite level in college football. But look, on any given Saturday, anything can happen. And we ourselves, you know, we've seen crazy things happen in this matchup between these two teams. So yeah, you honestly have to believe, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, an optimist. It's one thing to be a realist, but you have to go into the game with a little bit of juice, right? You have to go into the game with a little bit of excitement. talked about that last episode, and I'm not going to get on this big soapbox again. But, like, yes, understand the fact that we are 28-point underdogs. I know what that means. I do an entire segment on this show about gambling. But even with that, I'm not going to be any less excited to face a rival. And we got to enjoy this one, especially with what's coming and all the changes in the league next year. So I'm absolutely excited for this one. So what are the Gamecocks looking at in UGA? So right now they are 2-0 on the year after beating just two cupcakes. You look at their schedule this year. I understand it's the SEC and all that, but geez. Geez, it's like a freaking bakery. Just unreal. They are officially past the Stetson Bennett era and have turned to Carson Beck to lead their team at quarterback, who, you know, respectfully, just has a very incredibly punchable face. I mean no disrespect. But they do have one of the most dynamic players in the country with tight end Brock Bowers. They continue to reload along the offensive line. They seem to just always have highly touted running backs at their disposal. It's funny with, there seems to be a little bit of shuffling at that position this year. They had some returning upperclassmen, but are currently led by a freshman in rushing yards. So I don't know what's going on there. And also they are now under the tutelage of offensive coordinator Mike Bobo. LOL. I don't know if I didn't see that news or if it just went in one ear and out the other when they elevated him or whatever, but like, what the heck? That is seriously an LOL. Just freaking going against Mike Bobo again. Mike freaking Bobo, this freaking guy. Jeez. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know who they're led by. Billy Muschamp. And, you know, yeah, they return a lot of production. They're set to be really good on that side of the ball again, but I am not about to give any credit to anything that guy currently has his fingerprints on. Just another LOL. Enjoy our sloppy seconds, Kirby. Enjoy our sloppy seconds. Even though the Bobo one might be like sloppy thirds. Nonetheless, ahead of this game, Shane Beamer mentioned that everyone who has been banged up remains questionable. Sort of a mixed bag there. I mean, I think there might be a little bit of gamesmanship, but in college, everyone's questionable, right? You don't get the official injury reports or anything like that. You got to hope everyone can get well soon, but you especially want to see Juice, JT Gear, and Nick Emanwari get healthy as fast as possible. And if they can play at full speed in this game, it really would be huge. Especially, you know, you're looking at Juice and Nick. That would be huge for this team. But if there wasn't enough drama in this matchup and in this rivalry, there has now been a little bit more stirred up thanks to Kirby Smart and social media. I'm sure y'all have seen it going around, but for those of you who have not, basically, back at the SEC media days, so like a month ago, give or take, in the offseason, Tonka Hemingway, our boy, was asked by a reporter, what are some of the loudest SEC stadiums you've played in? And he thought about it, and he said Texas A&M and Tennessee come to mind. That's it. That was the answer, and that was the question. He didn't say any other school about anything else, right? That clip has since resurfaced, and in some weird, perverted logic, Kirby Smart has twisted that into taking it as an anti-Georgia quote and basically said, well, if Tonka doesn't think that Sanford Stadium is loud, our fans are going to show him otherwise. I'm paraphrasing. What, like, small little man energy is that? Like, honestly, first off, you're a grown-ass man. You're a 40-something-year-old man calling out a college kid by name in a press conference about a quote in which he did not insult you, didn't even insinuate throwing shade. He didn't say, not Georgia, or Texas A&M is harder to play in than Georgia. No, he just answered the question. Texas A&M and Tennessee, were top of mind. So what is this now? Like, anywhere we go this year, a coach can use this now? That's just not how that works. And then, like, what kind of energy is this? You're a 28-point favorite, back-to-back returning national champion, number one team in the country, hosting a team that's 1-1 unranked. That is scared energy. If you have to motivate your fans and motivate your team to get up to play for an SEC rival, SEC opener, you got problems. What kind of scared energy is that? Just unbelievable thing we had to deal with this week. College football is the best because of this shit, but like, Kirby Smart. Like, worry about your haircut. Get out of here with that. That is just terrible. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, for South Carolina, the motivation is right there. It's right in front of the guys. You have to use last year, that game, as fuel. And it has to be a model for how to be prepared for this game. And it really has to serve as a reminder that when you're going up against elite competition, you have to be able to keep it close from the jump. Shane Beamer's teams have struggled with that at times in his tenure, especially in the SEC, just letting games kind of get away from you a little early. And if we want to find ourselves in this ball game, then playing from behind in the second half ain't going to get it done. It's just not. So what is? It's funny you asked. I have my crows to the game here. For any new listeners, I don't do keys to the game. We have our rooster crow, so I have my crow to the game. So for the whole team here, stay disciplined. Don't give Georgia any free yards because this is already a big enough challenge. You don't want to make it any harder on yourself or easier on Georgia by having silly penalties. Also, maybe not the whole team, but you know, this group, make a special teams play and make it count. We saw that little bit of trickery in the North Carolina game, but the team didn't capitalize. Georgia will no doubt be expecting something, but we have the best special teams brain trust in the country. So let them cook, let them pick the right time, execute it well, but then make it sting. If it's a block, you block it good and you return that. If it's a fake punt with the Kaisman, convert it. And then the offense has to make it sting, has to make it count. It's going to be those type of plays that could keep you in one of these games. Now, looking at the defense here, my first crow to the game is keep them out of the end zone the first two drives. Georgia is loaded across the board. It's going to be tough sledding for this defense all day, especially having to play some youth in some key spots. So I do expect Georgia to get their yards and to be able to move. But as the field shrinks, can this defense rise up and keep the Bulldogs out of the end zone early, right? That's what they failed to do last year, and the game was sideways before you could say go. Clayton White's defense has had mixed results over the last few seasons as far as what they look like to start games. He's pretty good at making those halftime adjustments, but right out of the gate, it has been a mixed bag. So if you can keep Georgia out of the end zone and minimize that damage right away, then it could be the spark this team needs, but more so giving the offense a little bit of margin of error for their first drives as well, which could be all they need. You know, you remember last year, it was snapped your fingers 14-0. Well, offense went 3-and-out, whatever it was, right? So then all of a sudden, you're just behind the eight ball. My second crow here is force Beck to make a mistake. He threw a pick against Ball State. He's still growing into his role at Georgia. They're probably not going to ask him to do too much, but there's no doubt going to be some nerves there. And if the Carolina defense can force him to make a stupid mistake, whether it be a turnover or, you know, not reaching for the first down or something like that to get him off his game, that could be something that the team capitalizes on. And really, from my perspective, a lot of this game is falling on Clayton White's shoulders. Because as I'm going to get to in a minute here with the offense, you sort of know that we have the firepower. Whether we can get the correct matchups and capitalize and score the points, that's a different question, right? But you know that the firepower is there. Georgia's offense last year shredded us, absolutely shredded us. And again, a lot of that was just so quick. Their first three or four possessions were touchdowns. So can Clayton White come up with something to get a couple of key stops early in the game? Because that's all you're trying to do right now. Just hang with them enough. Keep it close enough, right? You can't be coming out from this big hole. So a lot of this game is falling on Clayton White, and can he minimize the damage? Because I have enough faith in our offense to score some points. But can we keep it close enough and keep it within arm's distance? Which brings me to the offense, my first crow, block. Same as last week. It might stay here for a bit, y'all. Just block. There was a bit of improvement in pass protection last week, but this defense and this defensive line more so is a whole different monster than Furman's. Just is. It's going to be a whole lot harder. They're going to have more complex schemes. Communication is going to be paramount. We've dealt with issues of free rushers and things like that. Cannot let that happen. My second crow, put Spencer in an advantageous situation. Let him drive the offense, right? He's got to have the keys. He's in the driver's seat. Let him emulate the run game by getting the ball out of his hands quickly to the outside. Bubble screens, things of that nature. Let's call some quick slants, short to medium routes, so he doesn't have to face that constant rush. Have a couple of quarterback rollouts maybe, right? Move the pocket. Let him readjust in space, which he has shown he can do, and do so with great accuracy. Just let him command the offense. Because, like I said a second ago, like, when you look at the pass catchers between the wide receivers and the tight ends, South Carolina has more than enough weapons to get someone open to extend drives and score. You know, Juice might not have flourished last game, especially on the stat line, but he played a good amount of snaps. So you see that strong improvement from week one to week two. He might still be nursing that injury, but if he can be out there a good bit, he's a huge weapon. Xavier Leggett's on a tear. Omega Blake got that. Do we see maybe a little bit of Nick Harbor, at least to draw attention and eyes on the defense? Knox and Simon, like, it's there. So the issue becomes the Georgia pass rush. So Dabble Loggins has to have a game plan so that you can incorporate those shorter to medium passes with, and then get some tempo going from there to set up the deep shots that worked so well for Spencer through two games. You're not going to be able to have a lot of time all day. So you have to set it up. Normally you say you set up the pass with the run. I don't know if that's going to happen. I just don't. So if you can set up the deep shot with some quick shots, that might work. Because if Spencer does have the time, he can make it count. So, I mean, overall for this game, you just got to believe. You know, is this a challenge? Yes. Am I aware of being a multiple touchdown underdog on the road? Yes. Does it shake my belief? Hell no. Georgia is still very much an elite team with elite talent across the board. But this is not the same team as last year, and they have a couple of things to still figure out in this early part of the season, so maybe the timing is just right for South Carolina to go in there and make some noise. I mean, we've seen some crazy things from the Gamecocks. Last year against Tennessee, multiple score touchdown. They're going to come in, they're going to light 50 on you. We know what happened. Granted, that game's at home, but even so. Couple years ago in this same matchup against Georgia in Athens, we saw the Gamecocks win as a multiple touchdown underdog. And, you know, there's always these games every year in college football that a game just doesn't make sense. and there is always a crazy underdog that goes in and shocks the world. Why not the Gamecocks this week? It's going to be real hard. We're going to need the team to do a lot right. Things are going to have to break our way. But this team is in more than capable hands to put them in the right position to do so. You got to fend off Georgia early. Keep us in the fight. Give the offense a little bit of breathing room right out of the gate. We need to play smart, make tackles in space, limit the explosives as best we can. On offense, keep Spencer upright. Give him as much time as possible. And in that same breath, the offense needs to take what the defense gives, get the ball out of Spencer's hands quickly if need be. And then along the way, you find a way to get some meaningful rushing yards. Move the chains when you need it, right? Use the rushing as a necessary. You don't have to force it if it's not there. Be adaptable. And let's just see if we can make this a fight deep into the second half. You know, why not? If we can keep it within arm's distance, and if this team can be competitive and stand toe-to-toe for a little bit at least, this is going to be it could be a moment. It could be a moment. Just can you find yourselves right there? Can you get it there for the taking? Why not us? Let's go, Cox. Fired up. It's a challenge. It's a big challenge. But again, this is why you play the games. If everything was predetermined and Vegas determined everything by the point spread and everything, we wouldn't play the games. This is a rivalry game. This is a game where we've seen some wacky things happen. Let's go out there and let's see what we can do. Spencer Rattler's on a tear. Xavier's on a tear. Juice is ready to pop off. I've seen some nice things. We've seen some nice things from the tight ends. When you look at the defense, there's a lot of talent there. Stone and Debo especially, been playing out their minds. Can Tonka, Boogie, TJ Sanders, can they be disruptive up the middle? Strawn, Tuzama, Thomas, maybe Gear, do a little enough off the edge. I like our D-backs, even with a little youth out there. So, very exciting. We'll see. That's all we can do, right? That's why I play the games. With that being said, let me get to the six pack of picks and then I'll get y'all out of here. Starting with the ACC, I'm going Florida State versus Boston College under 48. There is a hurricane that will be off the coast of Boston. Crappy weather. Plus, it's the first Power 5 team Boston College is facing. They just might not score anything. Big 12, Oklahoma minus 28 versus Tulsa. Tulsa just got crushed. I'll take the Sooners there. Big 10, Penn State versus Illinois over 48.5. Pac-12, Colorado State versus Colorado. You got both pregame shows going there. There was a little jawing from the Colorado State coach. I mean, you got to buff them up here, right? Colorado minus 24. In the SEC, interesting one here. I'm going Tennessee versus Florida. Gators plus 6.5. At the Swamp, at night, Tennessee has started slow, against UVA in the first game. Maybe Billy Napier keeps this close. Probably going to bite me in the ass. Group of five, Central Michigan. They're playing Notre Dame. Still counts for the six-pack. Over 51.5. I think that's largely led by Notre Dame. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter or X is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, or review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.